This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hi, everybody. Cheryl from Unleashed. And today I want to welcome, and I am so excited and honored to have Joan Ranquette. She is an animal communicator, an accomplished communicator with over three decades of experience. She does TED Talks. She's an educator. She's an author. And she's going to talk to us today about how we can communicate with our pets, no matter what size they are. Welcome, Joan. I'm so glad you're here. I'm excited about this because I have so many questions.
Well, thank you for having me. And I'm excited to be here, too.
So I always like to ask my guest when they deal with animals, whether they're vets or, you know, like yourself, a communicator. When did you know that, I don't want to call it a superpower, of course, but it is a superpower, that you knew that you had some kind of inkling that you were able to understand? I imagine you had dogs and horses.
Growing up, I had dogs and horses and eventually a cat. And that's what I have now. And I would say that when I was little, I always felt very connected to animals. But I didn't necessarily know that I was communicating. It wasn't until much later in life. But I was very connected. I loved animals, especially horses. I was one of those horse crazy girls, and I've never outgrown that. So I'm still a horse crazy girl.
I was always crazy about horses. And I know that when I first started to learn to ride, it's really your legs communicate to the horse, and then they take it from there. Whether you're a nervous rider or you're a confident rider, the way you sit, the way you hold the rein.
Yeah, your body really becomes kind of the indicator of how it's going to go. So the more relaxed you ride, the more relaxed the horse is. And yeah, it's a big biofeedback loop for sure.
And with dogs also.
Yeah, with the leash. Absolutely.
You know, it's funny that you say that because I just adopted a dog maybe 5 months ago, and she's a puller and we're learning each other. And she does look at me when we walk, and it really is the leash. But more than that, she's got like a boxer's face, so she's got boxer ears. But, you know, dogs, their ears really tell us a lot about, you know, whether they're stressed or they're, you know, interested in something or they're alert, you know, and then the hackles go up on the back, danger, or they're weary. They decide fairly quickly of the people they like and they're weary of, even just the scent of them.
Yeah, I always say watch the ears also, because I think with, you know, the ideal with a horse is that one ear is forward and one ear is listening to me. And it's the same with, like, I like for them to have an alertness, an awareness, but they've got one ear is definitely tuned in on me. Yeah, it's that's funny you say that.
You know, I notice her ears go in different directions. I'm going to do a show on dog's ears because there's so many different ways that they tell us things.
I think that's fantastic.
And my dog, when I got her, Tilly McGee, you know, from a shelter, she was chained in a, I don't want to call it a crate because that sounds like it's indoors, but she was in a cage outside. So she developed pica, you know, eating of not, you know, nervousness.
Yeah.
And was still dealing with that, but I don't think that she's unhappy because she's got the world now. I'll do anything in the world for her. But our animals do get anxious for just little things that we don't necessarily, unless you live with that pet, this is going to bother. They don't like to do this. You know, of course, we all know fireworks is like cruelty to me. It's torture for them. She didn't like it at all. But how do you deal with that?
Well, I have several ways. I mean, I think first and foremost, when you do animal communication, when you have a good communication, often they will feel like the story has been taken off their chest, right? Like they've relieved because they've been heard. Mm. So that is kind of like step one. And then if that doesn't start to shift the household, because the human usually hears something that triggers an idea, like, if she loves to swim, let's say, then maybe the human is going to get the dog to more opportunities to swim so that they can, express and release their energy that way. The other way that I deal with it is through exercise. I think exercise is huge for animals. You know, they're roaming if they were free in the wild, and then they sleep a lot. So giving them a safe space to feel like they can relax and not be bothered, but also enough exercise, like balancing that. And then the third way is I do two different modalities of energy healing. And the one that really helps with anxiety is called EFT, Emotional Freedom Technique. And that there's a lot, everybody's talking about EFT tapping for humans. It's tapping on specific points on the face, a little bit in the chest and the top of the head. These specific acupressure points are connected to meridians that are connected to organ systems. And each of those organ systems in Chinese medicine are connected to emotions. So the heart is joy, the lungs are grief. And so each of these meridians are pretty well represented in this sequence of tapping. And those tapping points are all calming points. So on the inside of the eye, on the outside of the eye, those are going to start to calm a dog down. And what we would do with your dog, for example, is I would kind of, after communicating, would get a sense of what was, kind of what maybe brought anxiety on and what she loved, so that we'd end it with more of the outcome that we want. But when you look at something like Pika, you're looking at this was a behavioral situation that has now become physiological. Anxiety is an interesting thing because it's both a stomach disorder, if you will, or condition, as well as an emotion. And there aren't a lot of, like, grief doesn't necessarily take up space in the physical body. It's just, it's an emotion that's heavy and we carry it around. But anxiety is really different and it's worth kind of trying to get on top of.
Yeah, it's strange because when we go out and there's dew on the grass, when we come in, I wipe her paws. She loves that. It's like she loves to be touched, and I touch her all the time and I kiss her on the head and I wipe the sleepers out of her eyes. She loves that. She loves to be touched or, roll on her back and I scratch her belly. But it's amazing how she can read me, because when I meet people, I take her to the dog park every day because she needs to run. She's a powerful big animal and she's young. She's under 2 years old. But she looks how I respond or relate to people. And that helps her decide also. Like when I was first introducing her to friends, I would shake the hand in the community that I live in. And she would look at that and she would like them. And she's very sensitive because one woman where I live, she had just lost her mother, and Tilly picked up on her sadness or something. And she's crazy about this woman. She will watch her get out of her car, watch her, when she goes in the elevator and walk on the catwalk, all the way till she gets in her apartment, like caring for her. I think I truly believe that's what it is.
Absolutely. And there's some animals that are more in tune with that than others. I've got three dogs, and I had up until a week ago four cats, and the cat that we just lost was absolutely, if I had a guest that was brokenhearted, she would spend the night with them. This tapping technique, a lot of people will bring animals over and they might spend the night in the guest room. She would sit and purr next to whatever animal in the crate. Like, she was just absolutely the caretaker. And then one of my dogs that I have now is very similar, where she'll just have her eye on you. And if you're having a bad day, she's going to just sit next to you. She doesn't need a lot. Just, I love having those healers in the household.
Yes, I'm very sorry you lost your pet. I put down my last cat at 19 last March. And they are very, 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 very special animals. They are definitely, I don't want to say psychic, but they do read people. They instantly know whether or not they like you or you're even a cat person. And if you're not, or if you're allergic, well, they're going to make you not allergic because they're going to sit all over you.
Exactly. They're going to sit where they're not supposed to.
Yeah, no, I loved having cats, but having a dog now, it's a different kind of relationship. I want to do more things with her. I had at one point three cats together. And then when I came to Florida, I brought two with me. I had a Maine Coon that was really like a dog. They're wonderful animals. But, you know, we all love our pets, and people who have dogs, they say we all have the best dog, and none of us are wrong, because to us, it is the best.
I love that.
Now, you have a new book coming out this summer.
Yes.
And that will help us understand our secret powers, so to speak, on how to communicate, certainly first with our own animals. I don't know about others. But you know how sometimes you meet somebody's dog, a cat, and there's just like an instant they really like you, or you really like them and they know it. You know, it's just like with people. So tell me about the book.
So the book is called Emotional Freedom Technique for Animals and Their Humans, Creating Harmony Through Tapping. So it's really, it's looking at the unwanted behaviors, so to speak, and looking at where, even if you're not a communicator, I have all these little exercises in there to help you, you know, kind of break down what might be going on for them. And sometimes they're picking up on our stress, but for the most part, animals also have had their own reasons to have stress. And so if we're not aware, then we can be compounding theirs. But it's, you know, because in the wild, you're going to mask your pain or your...
Right, you can't show weakness.
Yeah. But so animals in our household tend to do that too. So it's really taking a deep look. And then I've got ways to kind of investigate the situation, so to speak. And then to be able to come up with a way, then I have all the charts for the where the tapping points are and how you would start to help your animal with any sort of situation, whether it's anxiety, grief, depression, reactivity. So we go through all sorts of ways to understand it and help them relieve them of the conditions that are creating the situation.
Well, you know, since many of us, when we get a pet from the shelter, we really don't know the true history and how they were truly treated and how they really felt about that. And then we bring them into our home and, you know, we expect them to be happy. You know, they have a roof over, they have a bed, they're going to have food every night, they're going to have care. Because I know, well, I believe that animals can help cure us, make us feel safe and loved. And I'm just hoping that with my dog, Tilly, that I give her that sense. I mean, she likes to be near me, you know, sometimes a little Velcro, or maybe she is a little anxious when I go out and you want to say to yourself, oh, she misses me. But there's a lot of people roaming our planet who have anxiety and mental health.
Yeah.
And for each of these people, and many people do have pets, whether it's a dog, cat, goats, horses, I just wonder how that interaction, what rises to the top that you would think that even somebody with some kind of stress-related mental health illness and maybe an animal that came from a shelter gets together, that they could really heal each other.
Absolutely. And one of the things that I like to remind people is that no matter what the situation was, no matter what judgment we have about, say, oh, they were in a house where the person didn't pay any attention to them, they didn't know any better and they loved that person. So what we have to understand is that a lot of what they are in the first 6 months when they come into our home is they are probably grieving their situation, no matter how terrible we thought it was, they still were loved, were devoted, and cared about their situation. So there's a loss. And then if they did come with, say, anxiety or, you know, some other mental or emotional condition from their household, they're coming in with that. And then I always joke that they spend the first 6 months auditioning for the job with us.
It's true. And me too.
Yeah. Yeah. And then eventually the real personality comes forth. And that's when, you know, you kind of know who you're with. And hopefully you've given them the space to, you know, kind of release that grief and find their new normal. And as they find their new normal, hopefully we are aware enough that we are not compounding any situation they may be revealing, right? Like that they finally can admit that they are anxious, or they finally can admit that they are kind of naughty, you know? So hopefully we're supporting whatever that is. Obviously, we don't want to support naughty, but we can give them
that. I have naughty. And I don't support it, but she could be naughty.
Yeah, but you
know any better. She's a puppy and...
Yeah, but you're taking her to the park. You're proactive in supporting her expression, her fun, her need for exercise, her...
And friendship. She has, you know, she gets along with every dog. Never a problem. No matter how big or small, you know, and we throw the ball. So she gets a lot of exercise. But, you know, you still never know. I mean, she sleeps with me and she seems to like my company and want to be around me. But I want her to be happy, and I am happy with her. She's going nowhere. There's no return here, you know.
Right.
We're going into the sunset, except I'm a lot older, so she's a puppy. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
How many of you have pets? My hand's raised. Now think about how lucky you are to have such a sweet little pet in your life, and that pet is lucky to have you too. But unfortunately, there are countless pets out there that don't have a home to call their own. However, Bob's from Skechers is trying to change that. So we developed Bob's for Dogs and Cats to help pets in need. With every purchase of adorable Bob's footwear or fun, stylish apparel, or even the cutest Bob's pet accessories, Skechers makes a donation to Petco Love to help save shelter pets. And with your help, we've already saved the lives of over 1 million pets and raised over $7 million. So while you're getting style and comfort with features like Skechers' famous memory foam cushioning, you're also helping to save an adorable pet in need and helping another lucky owner be connected with a future best friend and companion. Because happiness is having a loving pet by your side. Find Bob's at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, select Petco locations, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We're back, and today I'm talking with Joan Ranquet. I want to ask you, what is the most memorable time when your communication with an animal hit you and you knew this was going to be your calling, that you knew it?
I would say, well, I mean, there's several times where I was like, oh my God, I love this. The first time I actually was introduced to it in the 80s, which dates me, I had an animal communicator come talk to my horse. And I think that was the first time that I even knew this existed. Like if this had been in a college catalog, I would have done it. I would have picked this, right? So I guess really, probably 1988, where I was just like, oh my God, this is the coolest thing ever. And I slowly, over the next few years, migrated towards doing it myself, you know? And I took, you know, I tried it, I took classes, I did everything. But I would say just being introduced to the idea that animal communication was a thing was what, you know, there was no turning back, so to speak. I was just going to get, because the feeling I had after having my animal communicate with me, you know, through this person, was I felt so connected, so close, so, it was just so powerful that I just wanted more. And I feel like, you know, I can have stuff going on in my life that prevents me from feeling that closeness. But at this point in my life, I can turn that on in 2 seconds. I just have to like kind of let go of all the stupid thoughts in my head and just be in that space with my animal. But I think that was the turning point for me, was having it done. And then from there, I had to learn more. And I learned a lot of different body works, like that sort of thing. Also, I learned acupressure, T-touch. I love myofascial release. Like, so in the late 90s, I couldn't get enough. I've got a drawer full of certifications, and not all of them was I able to keep up with, because it just, I would be in CEs for the rest of my life, you know, continuing education if I had stayed on top of all of it. But I would say having it done was the first way that I was like, oh no, that's, it's not enough to have this done once. I want to be in that space.
Right. Well, you know, horses they use for to help heal people, and dogs too. We've all seen the videos with an autistic child who doesn't want anybody near him or touch him, and the dog just creeps up slowly and puts his paw on him, and the child reacts, you know,
yeah,
accepting that a child that maybe didn't want to be touched or be near anything. I mean, and certainly with horses, I think it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I've worked a lot with in therapeutic riding centers with horses, and I've worked with a lot of guide dogs. I've talked to a lot of these animals so that they can, you know, find a way to continue to be of service, but be taken care of properly.
And by getting your book, we could learn certain things that we could utilize ourselves with our own pet.
Yeah, you could utilize it right away. When you were talking about the 4th of July, I do have a video on my YouTube channel where we tap for 4th of July. And I always tell people to try that before we get to 4th of July so that the animal is used to being tapped on and feeling relief. And then they will from there come to you when they feel discomfort, and they'll kind of ask for the tapping. So that's sitting on my YouTube channel, which is YouTube.
I'm going to check that out. You know,
yeah.
I just got back from the Pet Expo, and, you know, every year they have a different theme or whatever's in, you know, it was raw food or it's probiotics, but really this year, holistic. And just what you say, touching, acupuncture, touching the animal, that was very big. Doesn't matter what the product they were selling, whether it was, you know, creams or lotions for the animal or certain toys, you know, that you could interact with them. But touch was very important.
Yeah, touch is very important.
For all of us, I mean, there's nothing like it. I mean, we have a zillion sensors in our body for touch, no matter where it is in our body to be able to feel. So I think that's very important.
The other thing for animals is that, you know, unless, like, we have ways of expressing, right? We can call a friend and say, oh my God, can you believe she said that? Right. And we can then tell a spouse, oh my God. So we might have told 5 or 6 people what's going on with us. For animals,
they
don't
have us.
Yeah. And so having touch with an intention of helping them release something is just 100 times more powerful and effective. It's almost like if you gave a dog a massage and you gave a human a massage, the dog is going to experience almost more relief because that's going to be their only way of expressing, you know, through their body.
I'm going to try that. I mean, I touch her all over, but I'm going to make it a plan, because one of the things that I did get at the Pet Expo was cream for the paws.
Mm.
I know they're very sensitive on their paws. You know, I mean, they walk on the cement or they walk on the grass. They feel everything. It's like if we were walking around barefoot.
Well, and you know, some of the acupressure points, the starting point on their big paw, on their big pad is kidney 1. So all of it is actually, you know, it's not just sensitivity to the earth and the ground and ouch, there's a rock, but also sensitivity in general to their whole system.
So when you do your TED Talks, what does it really entail?
I did the one on the Rainbow Bridge, the TEDx talk, the Rainbow Bridge. I talk about helping, how important recognizing
when it's time.
Yeah, and being really present with them through all of those stages.
Yeah, I've been with all of my pets. I mean, we should all go so peacefully.
Right.
I mean, it's very peaceful. And I think they really let us know when it's time. And they don't fear death. You know, they're not, they just, you know, and they hide a lot of their pain because a lot of them are pack animals and they don't want to that show that weakness. But I think when you're really in tune with your animal, like with all of my cats, they live to well into their teens, 120, 121, you know, I mean, dignity,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if you're a dog or a cat, everybody should have dignity.
Absolutely. And they do tell us, they absolutely tell us.
Yeah, they give you that look. And then, you know, listen, they give us the best days of their life and one really sad day. And I always tell people the best place to bury a pet is in the heart of the owner.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, you'll always have them with you. And, you know, hopefully you'll save another pet.
Yeah.
Because when you take out of a shelter, you're really saving two. One that you bring home with you and one that is allowed to go in. It's amazing, you know. But I've never really, other than when my pet, you know, passed away in March until when I got Tilly, I've never been without a pet. My parents had a tricolor collie a year before I was born. And then we had a standard poodle and then an assortment of cats and whatever you take home with you, or they follow you home. And then, you know, you have friends that have pets and they become like, you know, when you go over, you play with your friends' pets.
Yeah. I always joke that I was raised as a small lap dog because my dad, there isn't a single picture of me as a kid where I'm not on his lap with the dog. So I really was raised as a small lap dog.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Seattle and I was fortunate enough to have horses. But
Very fortunate.
Yeah.
So you rode English?
I did. I even started out Western, but I rode English. And then I even rode in college. I went to college in Missouri and they had an equestrian team. So I made the team, but I got a degree in theater and I got too busy with the theater to compete for the school. But I rode every Tuesday and Thursday.
Wonderful. So what's next for you?
I have a school for people to learn animal communication and energy healing. And we're just continuing to bring in new students and teachers. And I think what's next is kind of getting out this summer and sharing the book with people at different places. So,
oh, that's wonderful. I can't wait to get it. Where is your school?
It's online primarily, but I have twice a year I have classes. So this in April, we have a 9-day intensive. It's 3 days of animal communication, 3 days of EFT tapping, so this technique, and then 3 days of animal communication in sanctuaries. And we like to work with sanctuaries and rescues and shelters because sometimes those animals really need it the most.
Yes.
So,
yes, the ones that are always overlooked. But, you know, once they walk out, I mean, when I picked up Tilly, and her name wasn't Tilly, because they always say, and it was Phoebe, and I think they just gave her that name, you know, exotic. They thought it was exotic. But you never really know how people use the name, Bad Rover or Come Here Rover. You know, I wanted to give her a whole new identity, and she likes it because I could even say T or Till, and she looks at me. You know, maybe it's the sound of my voice. Do you have a website that our listeners could keep up with you?
Yeah, it's just joanranquette.com, JoanranQuette.com.
Wonderful. I'm so glad you were able to come today.
Yeah, me too. And I think it might not be until later in the winter, but I will be in South Florida. I'm already starting to put dates together of different stores and getting out there with the book and tapping on as many animals as I can.
Well, please let me know and I'll let the listeners know where you're going to be. I so appreciate you being here. You know, I mean, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And I love, if there's anything if you want to tap with Tilly, just let me know.
Well, why don't you stay and I'll say goodbye to our listeners and we'll get each other's connections.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you everybody for being with us today. I want to thank my executive producer, Mark, my guest, Joan, and remember to live life unleashed. See you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.